Hello, hello. Welcome to the Embodying Greatness podcast. My name is Chris Delgado. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking about what self-sabotage is, some of the different ways that we as human beings say we self-sabotage. I'm going to dive into several of the ones I hear the most from my coaching clients or from students, and then how to resolve that. Now, I'm going to get some of this information from the book, The Mountain Is You, by Brianna Wiest. I believe that's how you say her last name. If you have not read the book, I'm going to highly recommend you go get it because there's a lot of information in there. So go do a deep dive. I'm going to talk a little bit about it because I really love what she has to say. And a lot of it is very on par with transformational trainings that if you're listening to this podcast, you probably have been a part of or curious to be a part of. So anyway, she says that overcoming self-sabotage is not about trying to figure out how to override your impulses. It is first determining why those impulses exist in the first place. So I absolutely love that. And she says self-sabotage is when you basically have two conflicting desires. One is going to be conscious and one is unconscious. The interesting thing that she has in this book that I find really fascinating is that on some level, we as human beings self-sabotage and use a bunch of different ways to have that happen. Yet simultaneously, human beings are incredibly self-serving. So I feel like that's two conflicting desires right there. So if we can be aware, with awareness comes choice, if we can be aware of when we are in either one of those, let's say, paradigms, I think we could be ahead of the game, right? Sometimes we can't figure out why we say we want to do things. We want to go for certain things. We want to take certain actions. We want to have certain results. And then at the same time, we want to go create these results and we're not getting out of bed in the morning to do it. We say we want to lose weight. We know how to, but we don't take actions to go do that. We say we want to have a certain amount of money in our bank account, yet we don't take any different actions to save more money. It's really fascinating. Some people say that they want to be successful at all costs, and then they don't want to actually put the work in that it takes to have that success, however you define success. So we have to look deeper at what the root of it is, which, again, is all work of transformation, personal development, self-development work, is really getting underneath and seeing what the root of it is. Because self-sabotage is really only an outcome of something much deeper, which I think is brilliant. Now, there are several different ways that in the book she says we self-sabotage, and I'm going to read over the list, and then I'm going to pick two of the ones I hear most often. So some of the ways are resisting. Something is called hitting your upper limit, uprooting, perfectionism, limited emotional processing skills, justification, disorganization, attachment to what you don't really want, judging other people, pride, and I mean the egoic pride, guilt of succeeding, fear of failure, downplaying things, having unhealthy habits, being too busy, spending time with the wrong people, and worrying about irrational fears. Now, what I really want to do is, and I guess I'll say, I just want to give a disclaimer that it's really almost impossible to say what self-sabotage does or doesn't look like because certain habits and behaviors can be healthy for somebody and be unhealthy for someone else. So I do want to say that. And again, it's all about the context or paradigm. So with that being said, there are definitely some specific behaviors and patterns that are typical. So those are some of the ones that I want to really go over and read some of the signs and how to resolve them. Now, I want to dive into the fear of failing. This is one that I hear all the time, and it can look like something that holds people back from putting in the work that they need to do to have the result that they want or to be great at what they say they want. But it can also take a more, let's say, nuanced form. Once we establish something new in our lives, then fear can come up as something that we irrationally worry about, almost like we're missing something. An example could be like if we're in a new relationship, we're super excited about being in a new relationship. And at the same time, we're going to worry that our partner is being unfaithful or that we're going to mess up something and the whole relationship's going to end. Another example of this could be starting a new business. And then we're all hyped up. We're starting the new business. We start working really adamantly for a few weeks, maybe even months. And then we stop putting in the hours. Now, how do you resolve this? So there's a difference between failing because you're trying something new and you're being bold and taking risks versus failing because you're not showing up and doing the work or being responsible for your actions. So those are two very different experiences. So I want you to hear that too, so that you can make sure that you hear the distinction, okay? Now, as scary as it might be to not be great at something initially, or even go for something and maybe fail a few times, it's obviously worse to never try or to play small. So the reframe into failure is inevitable or there is no failure is going to support you. And we've talked about this on this podcast before. Understanding that there really is no failure, there's only feedback. Now, listen, I know that when I say that, some of you are rolling your eyes. I've done it too. So maybe the reframe of failure is inevitable will be more likely for you to grasp. Because if we understand that failure is part of the journey, then we can swallow that pill. But listen, failure out of negligence or failure because you took a step back or failure because you didn't even try is way different than failing when you attempted something. So again, don't get those two twisted. Make sure that they're distinct. So if you can reframe and understand that failure is inevitable, failure is always going to be part of the process, then when we go for something, it almost becomes a check mark. We can learn from that. Most times, and if you really look back on your life, and get honest with yourself. I know for me, there are things that I went for and I crashed and burned. And I'll tell you, those were my biggest lessons. I know what not to do. I know what not to say. It's that whole theory of I know 100 ways to not make a light bulb. I think that the reframe of that could really support in having the fear be less and less and less over time. The next one then I think goes hand in hand with this, and it's the guilt of succeeding, or even sometimes, and maybe I'll go into this too, the fear of succeeding. So there's a thought process that people go through and it becomes a mental barrier that people face when they do get something, or you say you want to reach this certain amount of money, or you want to have this relationship, or you want to have a second home, or you want to have that house on A1A. Once you reach that, sometimes, I'm not saying for everybody, we then create a mental barrier and then we start feeling guilty because we have these things. And again, this comes from different sources, but it ultimately boils down to feeling as though we don't deserve to have it. So listen to that. We say we want to have it, we actually achieve it, and then what happens mentally is those self-limiting beliefs come creeping in. We sometimes feel like we don't deserve to earn the money that we're making or have those nicer things. People will sabotage higher income with, you know, reckless spending or by not being vigilant about their finances. And listen, and I've been guilty of that too. We start putting things on cruise control because at the end of the day, we're not comfortable having more than our basic needs met because for a lot of us, that's all we've been used to our whole lives. So once you start going above, if you're not doing that inner work, you're not doing that self-development work, sometimes it comes out sideways like this. And then we feel comfortable in the lack because that's where we grew up. So when it comes to success, sometimes guilt is a common emotion. So the reframe is understanding, again, with awareness comes choice, understanding that those emotions can come up. Usually they come up when you're stepping in between being used to not having enough and then that space of finally having enough. So again, reframing it, shifting into understanding that money and success are merely tools. So instead of looking at your success as a status symbol, something that sets you apart, which could lead to making you feel bad and uncomfortable, see it as a tool in which you can do more important things and positive things in the world and in your own life. The reason these two stick out for me is when I was going through Trainer Forum, one of my trainer mentors, Betty Sproul, and I've mentioned her several times on this podcast before, is I remember being in trainer form on one of the weekends and we were talking about money, we're talking about finances, talking about why people want to be a trainer. And she had every one of us go around and say, why do we want to be a trainer? Why is this important to us? And we all had very similar answers. You know, we want to cause peace on this planet. I want to be a part of transformation. I see the magic in transformation. I see what the tools do for people. I know what they did for myself. I see it happen all the time. These were very common answers that everyone had. And then finally, she was like, nobody's talking about money. Do you want to make money doing this? Of course we want to make money. And she was like, nobody said anything about the money. And for me, and I can't speak for anyone else, but for me, I was almost embarrassed to say that I wanted to make money at this. Then she talked about Oprah. Regardless of what your feelings are on Oprah, I happen to think Oprah is a great example of a humanitarian and has been an inspiration for me ever since this moment. So we're going on, you know, a decade at this point. Betty Sproul says that she heard Oprah say one time to never be ashamed about making money, because once you understand that the more money you make, the more people you can help on this planet. And that is my vision. So from that moment forward, I had a breakthrough, meaning that I saw a possibility that I never saw before. And again, it was probably because of my self-limiting beliefs, my societal beliefs, my family beliefs, the way I grew up, where I grew up, and all of that. But in that moment, I had a breakthrough in I will never feel guilty about making money ever again. Because the more money I make, the more people that I can support on this planet. So there you have it. I love this book. I love this topic. I love diving into self-sabotage. I'm going to do more episodes on self-sabotage and specifically diving deeper into these other ways. So stay tuned. This is going to loosely be a series, but these first two are the ones that I wanted to dive into again, because like I said, these are the two top ones that I hear, but we'll definitely dive into more of them as the weeks go on. So thank you for tuning in. That's all I have for today. If you like this episode, please share it with someone. If you know that somebody's struggling with self-sabotage, send this episode to them. Like and subscribe. If there's anything you want to do a deep dive on, let me know. I love going into these topics. So I'm going to end this like I do every week. You are in charge of your happiness. So go out and do something amazing today just because you can.